The World Health Organization says that antibiotic resistance is rising to dangerously high levels in all parts of the world, and it's threatening our ability to treat common infectious diseases. In veterinary medicine, researchers have been examining antibiotic resistance in bacteria affecting pigs, cattle, and poultry. New formal guidelines from the WHO calls for stricter enforcement of antibiotics in animals raised for food. Maren McKenna is a journalist and author who specializes in public health, global health, and food policy. She's a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute at Brandeis University. Her new book is Big Chicken, The Incredible Story of How Antibiotics Created Modern Agriculture and Changed the Way the World Eats. Maren, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Well, the WHO released these forceful guidelines last week calling for reductions in the use of antibiotics in food animal production. What was your reaction to this news?
It's really striking that they did this. This is a little complicated. It takes a little explaining. We've used antibiotics to raise meat animals since the 1940s, and we've used them both to make animals fatter and to protect them against crowding in barns and feedlots. And a few nations, including recently the United States, have moved against that growth promotion use of making animals fatter. But very few have moved against the much wider use of antibiotics as prevention. And that's what the WHO said should be banned, not just growth-promoting antibiotics, but also using them in preventive ways. They said that antibiotics should only be used if animals are sick. And that is a really big step.
In preventive ways, you mean injecting animals with antibiotics if they don't need them, if they're healthy?
So they don't get injected. They get the antibiotics in food and water. But yes, most animals, most meat animals on the planet get antibiotics because they are not sick. They get them for reasons other than curing infections. Now, in humans, we think that's completely inappropriate. If you think of any message you've ever heard from a doctor about only take antibiotics if you have an infection and so forth, we have expanded the use of antibiotics in animals over the years far beyond just curing infections.
So what do these antibiotics do as a daily regimen in their food? What are they doing to the animals?
So they don't affect the animals in any negative way. The problem with this is that as animals take in those antibiotics in their food and water, the antibiotics exert an effect on the bacteria that are naturally resident in their guts and in the guts of every living thing, what we call the gut flora or gut microbiota. And what those antibiotics do is they encourage the development or the persistence of bacteria that are resistant to the antibiotics. And then one of two things happen. Either those bacteria pass out of the animal in their manure and flow into the environment around farms, or when the animals are disassembled and become meat, the bacteria get on the animal's flesh and then travel into the food chain with the meat, eventually ending up in our kitchens.
So what is the World Health Organization most concerned about here?
The big concern is that there is an international epidemic, it's truly not an overstatement to call it that, of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, of drug-resistant infections around the world. By one estimate, 700,000 people around the world, 23,000 just in the United States, die every year from drug-resistant infections. And some of those drug-resistant infections arise because of misuse of antibiotics in medicine. But it's very clear at this point that drug-resistant bacteria are also flowing from farms and contributing to the problem.
And so if farmers are giving these antibiotics regularly, does it mean that if an animal does need antibiotics, if it has some type of infection, that it won't be able to fight off that infection, like a urinary tract infection, for instance?
No, interestingly, there's no evidence that it's not possible anymore to treat animals when they need treatment. I personally have heard some farmers say that they feel antibiotics on their farms don't work as well as they used to. But the overriding concern is not right now that animals cannot be treated. But the health authorities certainly do wonder if that's sort of lurking off in the distance, that we would ruin the effectiveness of antibiotics, not just for humans in the sense of our getting drug-resistant infections, but also that down the road will cause that to happen for animals as well.
Talking right now with Maren McKenna. She's a journalist and author. Her new book is Big Chicken, The Incredible Story of How Antibiotics Created Modern Agriculture and Changed the Way the World Eats. We reached out to her because the World Health Organization last week came out with new guidelines, very forceful guidelines, saying that antibiotic resistance is rising to dangerously high levels, and it issued new guidelines on how farmers give antibiotics to their animals, namely not giving them to animals that are healthy. How do you feel about this? 800-642-1234. You can get in on the conversation to say whether you support or oppose the WHO's stricter guidelines on antibiotic use in animals. 800-642-1234. Maren, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's acting chief scientist released a statement in response to these recommendations saying that the guidelines are not in alignment with U.S. policy and are not supported by sound science. What is the point here? Can you unpack this?
Sure. So, you know, for a long time, the United States was not one of the countries that had done anything about antibiotic use in agriculture. The only countries that really had acted on this were in Europe. First England in the 1960s, then the Scandinavian countries, and all of Western Europe has had a ban on growth promoter use of antibiotics for 11 years now. And just before the Obama administration left office, they created regulations that went into effect in January of this year, in which growth promoter antibiotics became no longer legal in the United States. So one of the two steps that the WHO called for had been accomplished. And the hope has been that the U.S. would move forward to also policing preventive use, because it's a very substantial use of antibiotics, again, going into animals that are not sick. And the USDA said, in response to the WHO's new rules, that this is just not going to happen.
Is it an overreach, do you think? Is there politics involved in this? Or, you know, what's going on here?
There's almost certainly politics involved. But so to unpack what went on, it's not surprising on the one hand that an agency within the current administration would decline to go forward with further regulations, because this is a pretty anti-regulatory administration. But to say that there is no sound science, this is simply incorrect. There are thousands of pieces of evidence assembled over decades now that make it clear that resistant bacteria arise on farms, flow off from farms, affect people who eat the meat that originate on farms, affect people who live around farms, you know, even move very far away from farms through complicated pathways to make people sick who have no connection to farming. So the USDA was just in the same way that the administration says there's not clear science on climate, they are saying there's not clear science on drug-resistant infections. But in both those cases, of course, there is.
Do we find that these antibiotics are then making their way into humans?
Sure. So the resistant infections, they cause illnesses in people who eat meat that comes from drug using farms, which have been until recently most of the farms in the United States. There's good science now that people who live around farms, who might not even work on them, but just live in the vicinity, are affected by drug resistant bacteria in dust or in water flowing off from farms. And there are epidemics of drug-resistant infections in that affect people in ways that you wouldn't really connect back to a farm unless you'd done the science. Like, for instance, a substantial portion of the urinary tract infections and kidney infections that happen in the United States each year are believed to be connected back to farms that use antibiotics. The bacteria travel on the meat to people, but don't cause an immediate infection, but rather a sort of quiescent infection that takes a while to cook and then makes people ill in a way that they don't connect back to something they ate.
The World Health Organization is urging farmers to cut down on using antibiotics to treat pigs, chickens, and cattle raised for meat. It's an effort to address concerns about the number of growing drug-resistant infections. The WHO is calling on governments to follow the example set by the Netherlands and Denmark, which have prohibited the use of antibiotics on animals in order to make them grow faster or to prevent disease. Maren McKenna stays with us. She's the author of the new book, Big Chicken. You can join in with your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. How do you feel about antibiotics used in livestock? Do you seek out specific labels in the grocery store for buying meat? Join us, 800-642-1234. Scanning the labels in the meat department at the grocery store, what does it mean when a label says raised without antibiotics or no growth hormones? What does the label naturally raised mean? Have those cattle received any hormones? These are questions that feed into our discussion around these new formal guidelines from the World Health Organization directing farmers to not use antibiotics to promote faster growth or to just prevent disease in healthy animals. Journalist and author Maren McKenna stays with us. She specializes in public health, global health, and food policy, and her new book is Big Chicken. She is also a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute at Brandeis University. You can join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Are you a farmer who raises livestock? Will these guidelines impact you? What concerns you about modern farming practices and antibiotics? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Maren, take us back in time. You said antibiotics have been used on animals since the 1940s and 1950s quite regularly. Have the antibiotics evolved? Are we using the same ones we used in decades past?
So to start with, the antibiotics that were first used in farm animals were the exact same ones that were being used in humans at the time, because in the 1940s, there weren't all that many antibiotics. The 1940s represents the start of the antibiotic era. It's kind of odd to think that because, you know, all of us were born within the antibiotic era, and so we don't realize perhaps that they haven't actually been around all that long. But antibiotics come on the market at the end of World War II, and almost immediately, the tetracyclines and penicillin get added to animal diets. As this practice moved on, as we got more antibiotics in the market, more antibiotics got added to animal diets as well. And that turned out to be a problem because the more you use an antibiotic, the more you give the bacterial world a chance to react to it and develop defenses against it. And so antibiotics got more and more undermined the more they were used in agriculture, because the tonnage of use in agriculture is so much larger than the tonnage that's used in human medicine.
Mm. And so when we go to the grocery store and we see these labels, no growth hormones or naturally raised, what are we seeing? What do these labels mean?
So it's important to say that in the United States, the sector of the protein economy that has done the most to move away from antibiotic use is poultry, partly because of those Obama administration rules, but partly also because the poultry industry just decided to kind of step out in front of the rest of livestock raising and really make some changes. So as you go into a grocery store, you can see raised without antibiotics or no antibiotics ever claims on a lot of poultry these days. And Those claims are ones that you can trust, but it is important to read the details of the labels because, for instance, it might say no antibiotics ever or no growth promoting antibiotics, or sometimes, though this is a lot of words for a label, no antibiotics of human significance. If it says no antibiotics ever, it means, in fact, that the bird whose flesh you're holding in your hands was raised without any antibiotics at all. They have been, other things were done for them that make it possible for the farms to not need antibiotics. If it says no growth promoting antibiotics, then they may have gotten preventive antibiotics, or they may have gotten an antibiotic that is not significant in human medicine, but one that might just be contained sort of within the world of veterinary practice for poultry.
And we would perhaps then be paying more for this type of meat. Is that right?
Well, it depends on the type of poultry. It depends on the bird, for instance. Within the spectrum of poultry raised without antibiotics, there's everything from beautiful heritage birds raised in the open air on fully, you know, on green rolling pastures to, on the other hand, birds that are raised in what we would think of as the very conventional way of raising birds, in big solid walled sheds that never go outside, but just happen to not get antibiotics. And the birds that are raised on pasture definitely are more expensive because they are much more labor intensive to raise. The birds that are raised in sort of in the conventional manner, but just with antibiotics taken out, those prices are close to what the prices have always been, because those big producers have figured out how to do this at scale.
Marin, now with the WHO's guidelines out there, farmers digesting them, countries digesting them, what's the next step? What does this mean here in the U.S. specifically?
Well, a couple of things are sort of potentially in our future. The first is that, as I referenced, the poultry world has really moved ahead of the rest of meat agriculture in sacrificing antibiotics and taking routine antibiotics out of its practices. And the first question is whether cattle and pig agriculture are going to follow. Now, cattle and pigs are more complicated animals. They live longer. They get moved around more as they're being raised. They have more disease risks. And the second is whether all of meat agriculture is going to move away from preventive use of antibiotics, as well as the growth-promoting use that those FDA rules that came into effect in January banned. A lot of poultry already really has moved beyond preventive use as well. They didn't say explicitly that they were going to do that, but the way in which they took antibiotics out of their growing systems effectively did away with preventive use too. Not 100%, but a fair number of producers have moved away from that. So those rules have kind of been followed, even though the administration is saying, no, they're not going to be enacted in the United States. But again, cattle and pigs, a very different situation, and we'll have to see what those producers do.
And since Denmark and the Netherlands, they've been kind of held up as the poster children, if you will, for their foresight on not using antibiotics in healthy animals. What changes have we seen in those countries, and how have their systems evolved?
So it's really interesting that, you know, all of the countries that have gone antibiotic-free, essentially, have managed to maintain really robust agricultural systems. There was sort of a blip in Denmark in their pig agriculture, where for the first year or two, their productivity went down as they tried to figure out what else they needed to do. But now the curve has gone way back up. And the Netherlands is a particularly interesting story because the Netherlands is a small place. It doesn't have a lot of arable land. It doesn't have a lot of room for what we think of as, you know, those big, beautiful, gorgeous, green, rolling-hilled kind of farms. All of meat agriculture in the Netherlands is very, very intensive. And yet that country has gone further than any other in taking antibiotics out of their systems. They went with the European Union ban on growth promoters, then realized that they were using so many antibiotics in prevention that their use of antibiotics hadn't really changed at all. And then they made a decision between their farmers and their government to try to do better, and they took 60% of the antibiotics they were using out of the system in just a couple of years.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was a lot.
So as we begin to wrap up here, Maren, the WHO's guidelines, are these enough? Is it going to take a bigger scare to make people realize that antibiotics, there's a scarcity and there is this growing immunity to them?
So, you know, the WHO is only an advisory body. They have no power to compel any government to do anything. They can only advise governments that it would be a good idea to do this. And I wonder sometimes, as somebody who, you know, spends a lot of my professional life immersed in the problem of antibiotic resistance, what it's going to take to actually get us to change our practices. We already know, for instance, that the latest worst superbug, the one that's resistant to every single antibiotic we have, which it's known by an acronym called MCR, that arose in Chinese agriculture, was identified just 2 years ago in people, in pigs, and in retail meat in China. It's already moved across the world. It's already made people sick here in the United States. Every doctor I speak to has had a patient that has had a resistant infection that nothing would work. And I wonder how much worse that has to get before we realize that we really need to make some change.
Maren, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Maren McKenna is a journalist and author who specializes in public health, global health, and food policy. Her new book is Big Chicken, The Incredible Story of How Antibiotics Created Modern Agriculture and Changed the Way the World Eats. She's also a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute at Brandeis University. We've been talking about the formal guidelines issued last week by the World Health Organization urging meat producers around the globe to stop giving antibiotics to healthy animals. Food animals will consume more than 200,000 tons of antimicrobial medicines by 2030. That's according to a study published recently in the journal Science. China is now producing more meat than any other country in the world, consuming more than 80 million tons per year. The Chinese government is aware that the use of veterinary antibiotics has ballooned. Let's bring in a new voice to this discussion. Jishu Shi is professor and director of the U.S.-China Center for Animal Health at Kansas State University. He was recently quoted in an NPR article titled "WHO to Farmers, Stop Giving Your Animals So Many Antibiotics." Welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what was your initial reaction to the stricter guidelines out from the WHO last week?
Well, I look at it, I was a little bit surprised when I was contacted for this topic from the NPR, because it's come from only WHO. So it was not a joint recommendation from WHO, OIE, and FAO. So I sense that might be a different opinion among the three organizations from United Nations. So definitely you can hear from the agriculture or veterinary medicine side. I don't think they agree with the recommendations.
So let's turn our attention to China for a moment. Give us a sense of the use, the great use of antibiotics on animals in China.
Yeah, well, so Chinese animal agriculture, you know, poultry, pigs, I think going through a transformation from backyard, you know, farming or raising pigs or chickens to actually very intensive farming, that really put a lot of pressure on keep the herd healthy. So there are a significant amount of antibiotic use still using for growth promotion and preventive, you know, treatment, as well as treatment of disease caused by bacteria. But I think the Chinese government do realize the problem. Just in the last year, since 2016, they have two central level, government levels of what they call action plans. One is the National Food Safety Plan, which is and also National Action Plan to Control Antimicrobial Resistance, from 2016 to 2020. And also there is the Ministry of Agriculture plan to contain the antimicrobial resistance of those bacteria come from animals. So they do realize the problem because there's a lot of use, a lot of antibiotic use. It's just because they have a lot of birds, a lot of pigs. So half of the pigs in the world are in China. So
half of the pigs in the world are in China.
Yes.
Wow. So, that, yeah. That puts it in perspective.
Yeah, I mean, the pork is a big part of the daily diet, you know, protein diet. The U.S., just give you a perspective, the U.S. slaughtered about, we produce 100 million, 10 million pigs each year. China is about close to 700 million pigs.
Wow.
So, and I think, yeah.
What causes antimicrobial resistance? What's the root cause?
That's a really good question. I came here 25 years ago to study actually antimicrobial endogenous, so the natural antibiotics in pigs. So actually, if you know, most time pigs do not get sick. You know, that's because they do have natural their cells, their white blood cells, and produce or even epithelial cells. You know, line up their intestine or cavity do have antibiotics. You know, and they can protect them from normally the bacteria. You know, we all know probably we have more bacteria in microbes, at least, in our system than our own cells. Human or animals, pretty much the same. But we don't get sick all the time, right?
Yeah.
That's because we have a way to control the microbes in our system. So I think, come to the question of, you know, where the resistance bugs come from. I think one of the theories, they are there. However, they are not the best fit bacteria in terms of the population. So because they kill the host and they don't get, you know, multiply either. So, but if you use antibiotic, you could slap those resistant to them.
Let's bring in a call now at 800-642-1234. Samuel joins us from Decorah, Iowa. Go ahead, Samuel.
I guess I'm thinking that these animals are raised in unnatural environment right now. And that is why there is this whole debate, I guess. They're raised in unnatural conditions, so the animals, I think, lose their resistance to things in nature, and that is why this whole debate is going on, I guess.
Well, let's bring in Jishu Shi on that. How about the animals in their environment and in China versus the environment on farms in the U.S.?
I think just go back to the caller's question. You know, it's unnatural thinking, the modern farming. So I probably would not characterize it unnatural. Definitely not the backyard way of growing pigs. But and the USDA has standards as well on how many pigs you can hold in a certain environment. But just for the production-wise, so you want pigs or animals in reasonably humane conditions. So the fact you have more intensive farming, more pigs together or animals together, that do increase the possibility of spread the bugs or bacteria, you know. So in China, I think they are, again, about 60% are intensive farming in terms when we talk about pigs.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's still 40% still small scale, could be backyard still. So there are
wide landscape for raising these animals. Just last week, the World Health Organization issued formal guidelines for the world when it comes to giving antibiotics to healthy livestock. Jishu Shi stays with us. He's director of the U.S.-China Center for Animal Health at Kansas State. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this check of the news. According to a review by the UK government, antibiotic-resistant infections kill more than 700,000 people a year around the world. Diseases like tuberculosis, malaria, gonorrhea, which once had a simple cure, are becoming increasingly difficult to treat. If current trends continue and antibiotic use goes unchecked, the number of deaths could reach as many as 10 million a year by 2050. We're looking at new formal guidelines that came out last week from the World Health Organization on the use of antibiotics in chicken, cows, and pigs that are used for meat. Jishu Shi stays with us. He's director of the U.S.-China Center for Animal Health at Kansas State University. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Are you a veterinarian who will be impacted by the WHO guidelines against antibiotic use in animals? Do you support the WHO's stricter guidelines? Join in at 800-642-1234. Jishu Shi, a wide variety of E. coli bacteria in China, have developed resistance to a key antibiotic of last resort. How does the rise of superbugs relate to the use of antibiotics in healthy meat animals?
I think the challenge in China is twofold. You know, the amount of and what kind of antibiotic you use. You know, so that's, I think, one of the concerns that WHO guidelines or suggestions is talking about. In China, it's also about how to use those antibiotic scientifically. Just when use is right for treatment or preventive purpose. So that's there's a significant work need to be done for the animal health community in China trying to, and unfortunately they realize that and they are trying to do it because it does affect human. And that's also associated with how the Chinese consume the animal products. They like to see live, used live, you know, not like the U.S. Most of our chicken are processed. Product. So most of them are safe, or probably less worry about contaminated with dangerous antibiotics. But when you're alive, so that could put a threat to the human being who used them, you know, because they are so close to contact with the animal. So.
Should we be concerned about animal meat coming into the U.S. imported from China?
I don't think at this moment there is the USDA or the U.S. allow importing any unprocessed meat, even unprocessed chicken. I'm not sure. There's no pork importing from China. I'm not sure. I don't believe there's poultry importing from China either. So,
in terms of fish, from
fish, maybe. Yes, fish maybe. But very few fish, I think, pathogens are associated with human disease, I believe.
Are there new vaccines on the horizon being developed to replace the use of animal antibiotics?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think everybody realized they need to stop using, probably reduce the amount at least, antibiotics. So, but the animals have to be protected, you know. So, and there's a big push to development of vaccines for bacterial pathogens, you know, so they can use. I'm pretty sure that's on everybody's mind these days, where they can, you know, induce the immune protection in animals, so they do not have to use antibiotic. Or even for preventive purpose. So,
do you see veterinarians using such preventative measures to prevent antimicrobial resistance?
I think yes, because that's even in the U.S. you have these autogenous vaccines. So, means the bacteria from the farm and inactivate them and put back as a vaccine to protect the pigs. So that's happening before this even. So it's the probably most economical way to prevent a disease, more specifically and effectively, since that bugs come from the farm, so they know it.
And so as we've seen this rise in the amount of meat being produced in China, there must be a big market for meat in China. Is this a new revelation, or has China always wanted the chicken and the pigs, the poultry? How has the meat market evolved in China?
This is a great question. I just recently gave a presentation to the multinational companies who are doing business in China, and they really care about that too. Actually, since 2016, last year, China is the largest importer of beef, also largest importer of pork in the world. About 40% export pork gone to China, about 30% of beef exported from any other country is going to China. So they're the big meat importer now. And that's part of the reason they just have a huge population. You know, they have almost 1.4 billion people. And there are more people can afford better quality of proteins. So that's a big push. The problem in China right now is the government realized that actually the capacity of to raise more pigs, more chicken and dairy probably get to the limit of the environmental can handle. So right now there are a lot of pig farms are being closed, especially in the southern part of China, because of the environmental concerns from swine farms. So they push them to the northern part of China. So it's by their own estimate. So there will be no more pigs, probably stay a little bit less pigs produced in China in the next few years.
Do you see China making changes to how it uses antibiotics in their in the meat used in what they grow for livestock?
Yes, they already started. They have this 2016 and to 2020 plan, which is educate the farmers and require. They have about 6 or 7 different directives on how to use antibiotics on farm. You know, have to be prescribed by a veterinarian, and also try to stay away to use the class of antibiotics that commonly used in human. So there, I think they learn from the WHO. I even look at the U.S. policy. But the question is, it's a huge country, and there are different levels of intensity in terms of agriculture. So it's going to be not as easy as in the U.S.
But is educating farmers enough? Are these stricter guidelines like the, you know, or are they just something that farmers can follow or not follow?
Yeah, that's they have to follow now, because on the food safety side, I think it's more a concern on the Chinese side is not get humans sick, because that can be a very big concern for the government if it come from sick pigs or sick chicken. So and that's a more and more legal enforcement, I think, happening in China. So that's why I think this week there are several multinational food companies, you know, McDonald's, one of them, are having a meeting, I believe, in Beijing. A sponsor, not they have, but they sponsored a meeting on how to use antibiotics on farms.
What do you anticipate will come out of these meetings in Beijing?
I think that they would have to use incentives. So basically, if the multinational companies can, they purchase those chickens or pork products with a higher premium without using certain antibiotics or no antibiotics, that will basically drive the change the trend of how, you know, pigs are raised or chickens are raised in China. So that has to be economic way, but also they have the bottom line is they cannot have more. They really have to reduce the use of antibiotic no matter what. So.
And so you see economic incentives as the key driver to making changes in China.
Yes, I do believe it has to be both economic, just because there are so many levels of agriculture. You know, for large corporations, you can enforce that. But what about those smaller ones? You know, how do they? It's just such a big country. So economic as well as legal regulations, both are important in my mind. Yeah, for them to get it work. You know, the bottom line is we all want safe products. You know.
Well, Jishu Shi, as we begin to wrap up here, how do you see the World Health Organization's guidelines transforming how we eat, transforming how the world eats, for that matter?
I think, you know, to think everybody can do the same thing as the Netherlands or Denmark, that's probably the way they raise pigs, probably too early. I don't think in the next 10 years everybody can do that, starting in large countries like the U.S. and China. So in that sense, I wish this suggestion or this guideline are a joint one with OIE and FAO. Because I know they can do that. They did that with rabies. They had a really...
With the United Nations.
Yes. You know, I mean, it would be much more, I think, receptive from the veterinary medicine animal health side if OIE and FOO on board.
If there was a unified voice. Well, Jishu Shi, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Jishu Shi is director of the U.S.-China Center for Animal Health at Kansas State University. Earlier, we spoke with journalist Maren McKenna, the author of the new book Big Chicken, The Incredible Story of How Antibiotics Created Modern Agriculture and Changed the Way the World Eats. Been discussing new formal guidelines from the World Health Organization that are staunchly against giving antibiotics to healthy animals. This hour of The Morning Show was produced by Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer and provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're with us on the Ideas Network.